Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Attention Talk Radio, the show centered around paying attention to what is being paid attention to, with your host, Attention Coach Jeff Copper.
Welcome to Attention Talk Radio. Today is December the 4th, 2009, and it's 2 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. Today's topic is coaching adolescents with attention deficit disorder. Before we get started, I want to make a few announcements. Next Friday, the 11th, our show will be on pressure and its impact on forward progress. I'll have ADD coach Steve Gundy in with me to talk about that. Then the week after that, on the 18th, Allie Kaufman, professional organizer and ADD coach, will be in. We'll be talking about working memory and more specifically software tools that are used to improve working memory, things such as Brain Train and CogMed. The 25th, Christmas Day, and New Year's Day, we'll be taking those days off and then resuming the show in January. Got some exciting people coming on that month. They're not quite posted yet, so visit blogtalkradio.com/attentiontalkradio and be on the lookout for upcoming shows. But enough of that. Let's get into things. Today's topic, again, is coaching adolescent children with ADD. Today I have with me Diane Ladd. Diane is a ADD coach with a passion for helping people get it all together and then remember where they put it all. She's the founder of ADD to Life Coaching and comes to coaching with a rich and diverse background. Diane's an ADD fitness expert, and her health and fitness knowledge is valuable for parents, teachers, and adults learn how ADD can be managed with nutrition, exercise, meditation, and other lifestyle adjustments. Diane herself is a woman with ADD and a mother of children with ADD, is keenly aware of the energy of those it takes to work with those with attention differences. So, Diane, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Jeff. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, it's a thrill. I've been anxious for this show for some time.
Yeah.
I guess to kind of kick things off, can you just kind of give our listeners an overview? Just tell us a little bit about working with adolescents that have ADD.
It's interesting. I've been giving it a lot of thought the last couple of days because we had talked, and I really think of it as coaching future adults with ADD. I pay attention to is what this adolescent is going to be. What is he now and what is he going to be? So in other words, not only am I an adolescent ADD coach, but I also coach police officers and lawyers and doctors and politicians and people that eventually will be, the movers and shakers of this world.
Mm-hmm. Diane, I love what you said. It's interesting. It's very insightful. You're paying attention to who they're going to be, not necessarily
Absolutely.
Who they are right then. That's fascinating when you think about it, just the forward thinking of like, okay, looking into the eyes of the child and trying to figure out who this child's going to be.
Yeah, and you know what? He or she is already that. And it's just so much myself looking at that and seeing it and holding the space for that that helps the growth.
Wow. Just kind of helping them unfold and actually be who they are.
Absolutely. You know, they get a lot of pressure, teens and adolescents, college students. There's so much pressure from the outside, and not the parents know that they're doing it, but they're doing it also, and teachers and schools and everything else, that they have so much outside pressure in on them, unless they have the time to sit and focus on who they are, they can kind of get lost in that. So coaching for the adolescent is that time to look inward and really start setting some goals for herself, for himself, and what he or she wants to be. And then bringing in the parents and bringing in the teachers and all the other support systems to help make that move forward?
The parents component is something I really want to ask you in a couple minutes, but I love how you said that. They come in and they got all this other pressure. How do you help an adolescent kind of let go of the pressure so that they can focus on who they are and who they're going to be?
A lot of the pressure is managing distractions, and we know it in our own lives that we've got these things that, I mean, even 10 years ago we didn't have that distract us. And what I see a lot is, and you know, and the parents know it too, and when you talk with the adolescent, they begin to recognize the distractions like Facebook, IM, cell phones, texting, TV, friends, even their own emotions, and the pressure to make choices. There's so many choices that they're making at this time in their life that's going to affect them forever, and they know this. So, you know, just taking things one at a time and kind of peeling back the layers of the onion and looking at what, first of all, what is distracting them, and how the distractions are making the overwhelm bigger for them. And then putting some limits and having them put some limits around it. It's interesting because my first contact is the parents. Mm-hmm. And they, first of all, they tell me that the grades are bad, and that's typical across the board.
Uh-huh.
They tell me a story about their child, about the diagnosis, about, you know, what the evaluation says and what deficits the child has, what learning disabilities the child has. And then they ask a question, you know, what do I do? And I begin to tell them.
Mm-hmm.
And they say, well, how do you get them to do things? How do you get them to do their homework? How do you get them? I mean, especially if you're working over the phone, how do you, like, get them to do it?
Show us your magic wand.
Yeah. And I, you know, the first time I was asked the question, I was kind of stunned. I didn't think of it from that perspective, even though I am a parent.
Mm-hmm.
And I say, I don't get them to do anything. I help them to find the motivation to do something. And some parents get it. Some need to be talked to a little bit more. And some really don't get it. So there is a varying level of that. But the complaints that I get is, you know, they don't listen to me. I get, he's so smart, but...
Mm-hmm.
Or he's such a great kid, but.
Yep.
And then I kind of say, well, what makes him smart?
Mm-hmm.
And what makes him a great kid? And that's the stuff I want to know. I want to know about the real person here.
I'm curious because in my work with adults. It's interesting because I working with adults that have ADD, I find that they do pay attention to certain things consistently. There's some things that they have a hard time paying attention to. And same thing with motivation. Sometimes they're always motivated to do certain things, and sometimes they're not. And you said something a second ago that kind of struck me. Kids to put their own limits on distractions, such
right.
as like, you know, Facebook and texting and instant message, because I mean they really are pervasive. As an aside, I spent last Thursday, Thanksgiving Day, taking my 14-year-old, who's almost 15, out in a parking lot trying to start teaching him how to drive, and we started talking about like cell phones and stuff. I mean, all those distractions
mm-hmm.
weren't there when I was a kid to have to deal with, and like how, you know, he's going to have to kind of deal with that. When you're like working with a kid, what does it look like, and what does a conversation look like, or how does it transaction when you're actually working with an adolescent about bringing their awareness to these distractions? And can you share, maybe give some of the parents what a sense of like how it takes place and how the kids actually start to empower themselves and actually set their own limits?
Right. Very good question. The main thing is having the adolescent see the benefit to doing the work. Because 9 out of 10 times they'll say to me, I just don't get why I have to do this. Homework is stupid. I don't get why I have to do it. I work all day in school. And, you know, other things like, you know, I don't get why I have to learn this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, why do I have to learn about biology
mm-hmm.
when I'm going to be a police officer? That just makes no sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
And it's true. And a lot of schools are really hearing that too, Jeff, because
yep.
I know in my local schools that they have two math courses, you know, two math areas. One where they have like the basic algebra, geometry that we had, and then they have another math track. That was the word I was looking for. A math track, like an engineering track, where they apply
mm-hmm.
the math to building things and doing things. And that's the type of brain thought process that adolescents with ADD have. They want to know why they have to do something.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So initially, you know, as we're talking and as we're coaching, it might be they figure out that the benefit to doing homework is to get their parents off their back.
Mm-hmm.
Right? The coaching,
yep.
Okay, so what aren't you liking? Well, you know, my mother's always bugging me.
Right.
How do you get her to stop bugging you? Well, if I did my homework, well, okay. What about trying it and see if it works?
Uh-huh.
Right? So that's the initial type of things. And also another really cool thing that I do with teens is I allow them to earn time with friends and to earn rewards. And this is kind of a hard thing for parents especially to buy into because they say, you know, I don't want to just reward my son, my daughter with all this stuff. You know, she's not a dog that I'm training. But
mm-hmm.
then I talked to them for a few minutes, and I said, well, you know what? Are you rewarding her? Does she have unlimited phone time? Does she have unlimited computer time? Does she have unlimited use of the car? Those are rewards.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of the work at the beginning is setting that type of structure.
Mm-hmm.
Where, you know, when you're done with your homework, you can go on the computer and have some Facebook time, or you can go and watch the movie you wanted to watch or the show you wanted to watch. But the interesting thing is, eventually, doing what they really want to do, you know, their big A agenda, right,
uh-huh.
helps them to build their self-esteem and their self-confidence, and they start setting goals themselves. For instance, I had this young adult, he's a junior in high school this year, and I worked with him at the end of last year and then the beginning of this year, and we started with this process. And then as the semester changed, when he came back and he had all A's and a couple of B's from going from the year before of having D's and C's, he was pumped.
Mm-hmm.
And you could just, I work with this young man on Skype, and I could just see his expression, and he was
yep.
just like, he couldn't even sit still. He was just so, did you see my report card? Did you see it? Because a lot of, it's really cool, a lot of these schools are now putting grades online. So as a coach, I'm able to go in and see what their coursework is. I'm able to
yep.
see what their, what they got for grades. I'm able to see
yep.
their progress reports and report cards. So I had already been online, and I was expecting it. And he said, you know
wow.
what? Next semester, I'm going to do better.
Wow.
I want straight A's.
Wow, that's got to be a great feeling to witness that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it was amazing, the transformation. But, you know, in lieu of that, an adolescent with ADD, there is that, you know, waxing and waning. There is that,
mm-hmm.
you know, the grades go up, and then something happens, they go down. So there... That's the importance of having a coach, is to be able to have someone that is really keeping an eye on that besides the parents and taking some of the responsibility away from the parents so they can parent.
Yeah, we're kind of on a roll here, and this is awesome, but you said something a couple seconds ago, a minute or two ago. I want to kind of go back and do this, and I kind of want to talk about it a little bit to kind of frame it out a little bit to kind of help the parents out there that might be listening who are interested in coaching maybe get a little sense of kind of how coaching works.
Sure.
And you had said, you know, I forget the exact word you said, but you were talking about homework and, you know, like, you know, I do the homework to get mom off my back, more or
mm-hmm.
less.
Sure.
And and you turn it around and said, well, you know, how do you get your mom off your back? Well, to do my homework.
Right.
And there's something that's very subtle, but I kind of want to put a spotlight on it. So many times I think parents walk in and say, you know, do your homework, or you need to do your homework. And in the context of this radio show coaching, when people tell you what to pay attention to, there's kind of a resistance, because what you pay attention to is really kind of a choice. And I loved how you frame that out when you go to an adolescent. So, well, how do you get your parents off your back? Well, do my homework. You ask them the question, and they lie. It's an open. Well, you know, how do you? What's the answer to the question? How do you get them off your back? Well, I do my homework. And when they start to think about, well, the cause and effect. Well, if I want them off my back, if I just do my homework, then they start to stand in it from their perspective, and then you're giving them the opportunity to choose what they're paying attention to. In this case, well, I choose to do my homework to kind of move them forward, which kind of goes back to what you had said earlier, and that is you don't do anything. They choose to limit the distractions, or they choose to do their homework. And I think the power of it is, and the power of coaching is, it's not by telling somebody what to pay attention to. You have to help them discover what they want to pay attention to and how it serves them.
Right, right. And it's all, you know, it goes down to respect,
mm-hmm.
mutual respect, and, you know, and trust. And I think that when you're dealing with adolescents, that there's this sometimes, I'm not trying to generalize, but some people have a preconceived notion that they really don't know what to do, so you have to tell them.
Mm-hmm.
So, are you still there?
Yep.
Okay.
You need to grab that?
No, I don't. I'm sorry. I can't get anywhere without a phone next to me. So, we'll just let it play itself out here, and we'll get back to focusing my attention on what you were just talking about. So, what was the question, Jeff?
Actually, I tell you what, why don't we do this, because we've got about 12 minutes and time's flying. I'd like to go to a break real quick, but before we do, for those that are interested in learning more about you and your practice and that stuff, can you give everybody an idea of how they could get a hold of you and how they could find you?
Absolutely. You can email me at Diane@AddToLifeCoaching, and I'll spell that, AddToLifeCoaching, AddToLifeCoaching.com. Or you can go to my website, www.addtolifecoaching.com. Or you can call me. And my number is 978-409-0013.
All right. All right. So I'll tell you what, let's run to a break and we'll come back. One thing I do want to get into before the show goes, I do want to talk about like how you work with parents when adolescents are coming, because I think it's important. So we'll be right back.
Okay.
This is Attention Talk Radio. We'll return in a moment. When you're stuck, what do you pay attention to? If you're paying attention to the same logic or level of thinking that created the problem, maybe you need to pay attention to something else. DIG Coaching excavates outcomes by paying attention to what you pay attention to. After all, if you're paying attention to the wrong thing, you're likely paying attention to the wrong solution. To learn more about finding your obvious solution, go to digcoaching.com and download the free audio file, Finding the Obvious Solutions When They Aren't So Obvious. Don't delay, do it today.
If you have a topic that you want covered or question answered, just email us at info@digcoaching.com.
Be part of the show. Dial 646-652-4409. And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everyone. Today's topic is coaching adolescent children with ADD. With us in our studio is Diane Ladd. Diane, we've got about 10 minutes to go, and I want to make sure I want to talk about parents for a second, the parents of adolescents.
Okay.
when parents come in, the child's been diagnosed with ADD, they're loving, they're caring. You know, they want to get a coach for them because they want nothing but the best for their kids. They want to help their kid keep from struggling. As adults come in, what would you like to tell parents to think about or consider as they if they were to go seek something for the child? And then if you could talk about your perspective, some of the challenges that you face in working with kids and parents at the same time.
Yeah, that definitely is a challenge. When parents first come and either call me or come into my office, they definitely do see the potential in their child because they know their child best. They can see that the child can do the work. And I often hear my daughter is extremely intelligent. She's very, very smart. The problem lies is they don't see that the child is living up to what he or she can do. And depending on what they know about ADD and how much they have read and how much they have been seeking, if they don't know much about ADD, they tend to blame the child. Because they say, well, you know, he can do things that he really likes. You know, he can play video games for hours and pay attention to that, but yet he can't read a chapter in science.
Mm-hmm.
So depending on the parent and the level of education in ADD, it varies. And then there are the parents that know what is going on. I've got a lot of parents who are teachers who, that know about special education and attention deficit disorder, and also parents that have, since the diagnosis and during the diagnosis, have read the books and, you know, visited the blogs and the websites, and they really know what is going on. So, you know, to categorize the typical parent, there really isn't one. But most of them love their children very, very much, and they want
Absolutely.
The best of them. But what they seem to be paying attention to at the moment across the board is the recent struggles, going through the testing. What are the doctors saying? What are the therapists saying? What's happening with their grades? So the attention is generally on what is wrong with my teen.
Mm-hmm. How do you help them shift to pay attention to what's going right or what actually works for the teen?
By working with the teen and having the young adults be able to express, that's the important piece, is giving the adolescent a voice, giving them a say. You know what? Sometimes parents will call me and talk to me, and I ask them, what does Billy know about ADD? Well, you know, we haven't told him he has it. That happens a lot.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. They don't want to tell him that there's something wrong with him. And they don't want to lower his expectations of himself.
Mm-hmm.
So they keep that. And some of them keep it to themselves for years.
Mm.
And so a lot of the work sometimes is working with the parent and helping them to see that they're doing their son a disservice by keeping that information away from him because he's not learning how he learns.
Mm.
You're not empowering him, and he knows there's something wrong.
Mm-hmm. You say something that's interesting there, is when I'm working with adults, as I say, I'm curious about not how you're the same as everybody else. I'm actually curious about how you're different.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you were the same as everybody else, the seemingly obvious solution would work. So if it's not working, then we need to pay attention to how you're different, because what's obvious will reveal itself if we understand actually how you work.
Right.
So what I'm hearing is kind of important to let the kids know that we're all different when you think about it.
Yeah.
And actually kind of help them look for that type of stuff so they can begin to pay attention, begin to manage it on their own.
Exactly. And how a young adult child a teen learns that he has ADD is extremely important. How that is told to him.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's buried in shame and blame and secrecy, it's not a good thing, because you're giving him a message without even saying anything.
Mm-hmm.
But if you talk to him and you say, you know, everyone learns differently, and I'm finding out that the way your teachers are teaching right now is not the way you're learning.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, some people learn one way. They learn by, you know, just memorization. They learn by seeing. They learn by hearing. But what I'm finding out is that you may have to shift some things that you're doing in order to help yourself learn.
You just hit on something that was just, if I may, I had, when I first met Diane, she was actually up kind of giving a presentation, and you walked in with a bunch of other coaches in the room, and you started passing out fidgets, all these like cigar pipe cleaners and these like squishy balls and all this kind of stuff. And it's interesting because, you know, a lot of kids are kinesthetic, or they need to be moving. The next 8 years, I found even adults I've worked with are best. Sometimes I'm like, if I'm talking to you, get up and start pacing, because that movement actually helps them, allow them to kind of focus. In the context of like learning, you know, and to highlight how sometimes you have to pay attention to things differently. A lot of times in a classroom, I mean, even myself and, you know, people say, you know, you just sit down and be quiet and be still. Well, sometimes with the ADDers, that's like saying don't pay attention, whereas if they're up moving or as you give them the fidgets so they can start playing around, so actually they can start to focus in on you, you begin to pay attention to how they're different, but you actually start to realize what works for them.
Exactly. And what they're finding, what science is finding now, that for some people, when you ask their bodies to be still, their brains shut down. There is a huge body-brain connection. Some people can sit very still and listen attentively. Others need to be moving and fidgeting as they're listening in order for their brain to turn on. And it's all the individual. It's all about what works best. And in fact, and what Jeff was talking about was, I'm a firm believer in allowing people in general to fidget, because it's the fidget that brings you back to the focus.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the leg shaking that's going to keep you engaged with what the person in the front of the room is saying. Or maybe it's getting out of your seat and walking around that's going to do it for you. Interesting, too, is some people cannot look at an instructor, a teacher, and listen to them at the same time. I had a client who would constantly look out the window, and when he did, the teacher would say, "You're not listening," would single him out and say, "You are not listening to me." And he would say, "Yes, I am." And then she would say, "No, you're not, because you're not looking at me." And after some coaching, we figured out that this young adult could not look and listen at the same time. When he looked at the teacher, he got distracted by the necklace she was wearing, or, you know, the clothing she was wearing, or something visual about her, and he was then not able to listen. So it's only when talking with the adolescent and kind of, like I said, unpeeling those layers of the onion to where you can get to a solution, you can get to maybe a reason behind the behavior.
Mm-hmm. What I like about what you're saying, particularly in the not looking, is, you know, many of these solutions, are not, if you just look at the obvious solution, sit still or look at me type of thing that might apply to everybody, it doesn't work for everybody.
Okay.
And a lot of those obvious solutions don't necessarily work for those with ADD. But many things that are not so obvious are actually obvious to them, like, okay, in working with this child, okay, let's try not to look at the teacher, or basically not look at it, but understand that you don't have to be looking at it to kind of pay attention. And once you understand that how that child actually works, then you begin to move forward, because that's the way the child actually pays attention.
Exactly.
So.
And it's interesting, because ADD is an invisible disorder, right? You can't look at
We're starting.
I hear the music.
Finish what you're saying.
It's an invisible disorder, and you cannot look at somebody and say that this person has ADD. It's only by talking with them.
Look, Diane, we're running out of time. Before we go, real quick, because I've only got about 15 seconds, could you let everybody know again how they can get in contact with you? And again, I'd like to thank you for being on. We're going to have you on again sometime in the future, because this has been a great conversation.
Thank you so much. And my contact is diane@addtolifecoaching.com. And my phone is 978-409-0013.
Thank you very much, Diane, and have a great week. And have a great week, everybody. We'll be back to you on the 11th. Take care.
Thank you, Jeff.
Bye-bye.
Bye.